Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yesterday was All Saints' Day. Today is celebrated by some, especially in the Roman Church, as All Souls' Day. Now, the Roman Church would celebrate the saints as a special group of believers who were in a class above the rest, who did extra good works here on earth or confessed Christ more boldly than others and have now entered the glories of heaven. All Souls' Day, on the other hand, would encompass the rest of the faithful departed, as they're called, who are just average Christians who have died and who, according to Roman theology, are still being cleansed of their impurities in purgatory. We won't even say much this evening about that other celebration called the Day of the Dead, which is also today, where the Roman Church in Mexico blended pagan beliefs with some elements of Christianity to come up with a whole new story about the dead, so that the souls of the dead actually return to their graves on this day to reconnect with their earthly life, if and only if their living relatives hold them in remembrance. For us, in the Lutheran Church, we still observe All Saints' Day, but not like the Roman Church does. For us, it's a day for us to pause and remember both the path to glory and the glory itself. The path so many of our Christian brothers and sisters have walked over the centuries, over the millennia, and the glory they now experience. The path that we must now walk, and the glory that we will one day experience if we remain faithful. That's the theme of the Beatitudes you heard this evening. It's also the theme of the lesson from Revelation chapter 7, which will be our focus. You're more familiar, I imagine, with that last part of the reading from Revelation 7 that you heard, the glory that the saints in heaven now experience. But we shouldn't overlook those earlier verses that were read describing the placing of a seal, the seal of God Almighty, on the foreheads of the 144,000. That's a very comforting vision, too, if you view it correctly. That is the path to glory. We won't discuss the Jehovah's Witnesses and their strange interpretation of the 144,000. We can talk about that in Bible class. For now, let's look at the simple understanding of it. John saw four angels holding back the destruction that they were supposed to unleash on the earth. They had to hold back the destruction until the 144,000 could be sealed so that they could be saved from the destruction. John heard the angel say that the destruction couldn't be unleashed on the earth until the servants of our God, that's the same group of people represented by the 144,000, have been sealed on their foreheads. Well, already it's clear who's being sealed. It's the servants of our God. That's just another way of saying all faithful Christians, all the elect. Then follows the listing of where those people came from, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. But did you notice something strange about the listing of the tribes? I'm sure you were paying close attention to those names. The tribe of Dan is completely omitted. And the tribe of Ephraim is referred to as the tribe of Joseph. Now, any good Israelite, like John was, knows that's not how you list the 12 tribes of Israel. You don't skip one and rename another one by his father's name. And then a third anomaly, maybe, is that Reuben is always listed first because he's the firstborn, but in this listing, Judah is listed first. What do we make of those anomalies? The simplest understanding is that this list is meant to be understood figuratively. It isn't referring to a literal number of people who were literally descended from each of those tribes of Israel. It's referring to the full number of the church. 12 times 12 times 10 times 10 times 10. The full number of the Holy Christian Church, the elect and believing children of God, who are the figurative Israel that St. Paul talks about so much in the Epistle to the Romans and Galatians. What does it mean that the elect are sealed with the seal of God? Well, the very first one to be sealed was Christ Jesus himself. Jesus says in John chapter 6 that God the Father has set his seal upon the Son of Man, a mark of his ownership and of his approval. The tribe of Judah was listed first in that listing in John's vision because Christ was descended from the tribe of Judah. And those who believe in him are given that same seal of ownership and approval. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Now God is the one who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." Again, writing to Timothy, "The solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Listen to how similar that is to what John says toward the end of the book of Revelation. "The 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth, these are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God." So the 144,000 are the elect and believing Christians who persevere in faith until the end. They're sealed in this life with God's ownership, God's approval, and God's protection, so that, as Jesus says about his sheep, "I know my sheep, and no one can pluck them out of my Father's hand." From start to finish, God has worked out our salvation. The path to glory is hearing the gospel, repenting, believing in Christ, confessing Christ before men, staying close to him and his means of grace, praying earnestly for God's protection and strength, and living as saints in the world, wearing the name of God on our foreheads, as it were, so that people can see by our words and by our actions that we are his, and doing all this all the way to the end. Then in the second part of that reading from Revelation, we see the glory itself, the blessed end of the 144,000, of all the elect, all those who were sealed in Christ in this life and who persevere until the end. This vision is important for us because all we see here is the death of the saints. People remain faithful Christians sometimes for their entire lives, and yet they end up just like everyone else does. From an earthly perspective, at least, we bury our fellow Christians right alongside the graves of the unbelievers. But their souls, the souls of our sleeping Christians, aren't in the grave, and they don't come back to their graves on the Day of the Dead either. What their souls are now doing, we see in John's vision, at least a picture of it. First, it's a great multitude that no one could number. Again, showing us that the number 144,000 was never meant to be taken literally. It was symbolic of this full number of the spiritual descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In any given room or any given city, the number of believers in Christ is relatively few. But add them up, year after year, century after century, from every nation, tribe, language, and people across the earth, and you have a multitude that no one can number. Children for Abraham that are as numerous as the sands by the sea and the stars of the sky. And they all stand together, not one over here, one over there, not black people over here, Hispanics here, other white people here, rich and poor standing apart. There is no loneliness, no isolation. There are no divisions in this number. See where they are gathered, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They are standing, not lying helpless in a bed, as you may remember them, not stranded in a wheelchair or hobbling slowly across a room. They're standing, and standing before the throne and before the Lamb, not out fishing, not out golfing. God is what matters to the saints. And see how the saints are dressed. We sang, "Behold a host arrayed in white." White robes like our white pyramids today, but even brighter and whiter. Pure and sinless, no longer plagued by a sinful nature that pulls at them and drags them off with shameful thoughts and deeds. They were clothed in life with the robe of Christ's righteousness through faith, with robes made white by Christ's blood through the forgiveness of sins. Now they're clothed in glory with their own righteousness because they sin no more. See what they hold in their hands. Palm branches. Like the Israelites waved at their Feast of Tabernacles, when they remembered every year the temporary dwellings in which they lived during their journey from Egypt's slavery to their permanent home in the promised land of Canaan, all of which represented, looking back now at the wanderings here on earth and celebrating the permanent home that they have in heaven. Of course, palm branches also recall the events of Palm Sunday when the crowds welcomed the Lamb of God into Jerusalem at the beginning of Holy Week and called out to him, "Hosanna," which means, "Come and save us now." That's similar to what the saints in heaven are saying, although now it isn't, "Come and save us," now it's, "You have come and you have saved." They cry out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." The saints in glory are the ones, it says, coming out of the great tribulation. That's this life, the great tribulation, not the great vacation. In addition to all the sickness, pain, loneliness, uncertainty, and death that happen here, your faith is under constant attack in this world too, by the devil, by the world, by your sinful nature. Finding the truth out there, holding on to faith in Christ, those things aren't automatic for the Christian. And it's even harder as the dear cross presses harder. And holding on to love in this loveless world in which we live, Jesus was right when he said, "The love of most will grow cold. Even the elect would be deceived, if that were possible." But the saints have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. They come out of the great tribulation one by one as death ushers them out of the great tribulation into the great calm of heaven. They can finally rest. They can finally breathe a sigh of relief. It's over. We made it. No more persecution. No more pain. No more struggling with false teachings. No more threats to their faith. And finally, we see what God does for them as they live in His presence and serve Him day and night in His temple. He shelters them with His presence, providing for their every need, protecting them from harm and danger. No more hunger or thirst, no more scorching heat or any threat of any catastrophe. The Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd and will lead them to living springs of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. After all the struggles with sin and its consequences here, finally the saints in glory reach the lap of their Heavenly Father, who knows better than anyone just how hard it has been. But He comforts them. See, now all that is done. Now you're here with Me. This is not some pious fiction. This is not some dream that makes us feel better, but that isn't real. This is the word of the Lord. This is what heaven is like for our believing friends who have fallen asleep, and this is what heaven will be like for you when you fall asleep if you remain faithful. So hang in there. It won't be long now. God has baptized you into this race toward the finish line, this race toward the heavenly goal. Jesus has blazed the path to glory for you and won the prize for you, and He feeds and nourishes you along the way with His word and sacraments. Keep running the path to glory. You'll make it if you keep running it. God is faithful. And when you do make it, those of us who are left here on earth until the final coming of Jesus, we'll celebrate you too, at least once a year on this festival of All Saints. Today is our celebration day, and we give thanks to God through our Lord Jesus Christ for all the saints who from their labors rest. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.